I need 4 lilies to rise, please. Not what you expected to hear, is it?
4 lilies
to rise. 4 lilies. Ho ho. Lilies know who they are. All right, let's begin with lily number 1 and just go through the 4.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food, and the body is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing.
2.
Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or not reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?
Thank you. 3.
And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these.
Yes.
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For indeed, our heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Thank you. Let's hear it for the lilies. Thank you, one and all. You know those darn lilies have plagued me from the first time I put a foot on Unity Village. Everywhere I went, I saw the lilies of the field, and I saw, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all this will be given unto you as well. I wasn't that interested in God's kingdom at the time. I was more interested in getting a raise on my job and a better retirement account and health care with dental, please, because that's who we are. This is the world we live in. And those lilies, they make it seem so simple. What if it is that simple? Oh, if only we could just cease our toiling and spinning and allow God to feed us and to house us and clothe us. But that's not the way the world works, is it? Is it? Could we be daring enough, trusting enough, audacious enough to behave as if these beautiful words actually give us the formula for successful living? That's exactly what Jim Rosemurgy is telling us in his book, Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, which we'll be studying on Sundays through November the 18th. And that is exactly what we're striving for in this autumn journey that we are taking into abundance, this journey that leads us to Thanksgiving, both literally and symbolically. So as we travel together into the mystic, we will quietly, joyously celebrate our awakening to this truth, that the lilies were right, and this truth will set us free. There are 2 powerful ideas that are the foundation of Jim Rosemurgy's book, and they are, 1, God is our source, and 2, a consciousness of God is our supply. You get used to that word supply if you hang around Unity long enough. It just means everything you need to fulfill your needs or your wants is supplied. Things, circumstances, people, good health, happiness, joy. When we live in the consciousness of God, everything is supplied. Yes. We think we have needs. We think we have needs. But God cannot fulfill needs. Source cannot express itself through a need. And I struggled with that idea the whole time I was studying the book. And then I realized, God does not create need. Who creates the need? We do. And how do we do that? Through our shared beliefs. We believe there's not enough. Not enough to go around. It's going to run out. I got to get mine before the other guy gets it first. So God cannot fulfill needs because the needs are not real. It's a heck of a life we've chosen for ourselves, spending all our time and energy and money on needs that are not real. It's like we're playing a game, but we got the rules for a different game. And so we keep on trying to win the game of Risk when we've got the rules for Monopoly. Never going to work, ever. We have to learn the rules for the game of life, the spiritual laws that make it all happen. It is, therefore, our purpose and our mission to develop an awareness of God and to live in alignment with the truth of being, and thus to experience the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. We've talked in the past about how Unity has well-developed teachings about prosperity and how Unity teaches that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of all good things. And since Unity is practical spirituality, we share the tools to apply these teachings in our individual lives. And today we're going to begin our exploration of these tools. And the most important tool to increase your personal experience of prosperity is the practice of giving, which Unity describes as tithing of your time, talent, and treasure. And Unity teaches us to tithe to the source of our spiritual good. I'm going to talk about a couple of things just in those last two statements. The word tithe is like the word cancer. It's only scary until you've done it. And I've talked to other people who've had cancer like I have and shared that one of the gifts of having cancer is I'm no longer scared of cancer. And the word cancer is not scary to me anymore. It's not. It's just one more thing I did. Okay, so that was cancer. Now I'm on to some other things. The word tithe is a trigger word. And it means so much to different people and to their own backgrounds in different churches. And you think that the tithe police are going to show up on your porch and demand their 10%. And in some churches, they send you a statement. Tell you how much. The practice of giving is one of the mainstays for those of us on the path to enlightenment. It is a hallmark of spiritual mastery. It is such a powerful practice. Okay, now we're getting to the meat of it. Pay attention. That Jim Rosemurgy presents the rites of passage of giving. Now, you know what a rite of passage is. It's something that marks a new stage in your life, a stage of growing up or entering a new phase. It could be your bar mitzvah or getting married. Rites of passage are ways we recognize the change, usually the advancement, into a new way of being. And Rosemurgy has broken this down into five levels, five different rites of passage that we go through connected to giving on our way to spiritual mastery. Do you know this is the only way I could teach tithing? If it is part of a program of spiritual mastery, if it's part of the mystery of the universe, the key that is going to unlock so many of those puzzles that baffle us and make us do without. So I'm going to tell you about these five steps, and they are the five rites of passage of spiritual giving. In the first step, at the very beginning level, we do not give. That may not seem like a step, but it is. We believe in appearances when we're at this stage. We have a fear of tomorrow. We have a lack of understanding about the way the universe works. We cling to what we have. We do not give, nor do we receive the riches of spirit. Lack of giving seems justified. The reason we do not give is, one word, fear. Fear. False evidence appearing real. It's fear. So when we advance to the next level, the second rite of passage in giving, we give out of sense of guilt. We realize that giving is the key to life, so we begin, and we give as little as possible. We believe that we must give from abundance, so we don't give if we don't think we have enough. We're waiting to win a lottery. Then we'll give. Then we'll tithe. Where we give and how much we give reflects our values. For instance, we may spend more on entertainment than we do on a source of our spiritual good. But at least we're giving now. The third step, we give out of a sense of duty. These are all really heavy. You notice the heavy energy around this. It's all old energy. Oh, okay. The third step... And the unfolding of a spiritual consciousness involves giving out a sense of duty, and you give without joy. So have you ever given a stranger the money they needed at the cash register?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they were in line in front of you. I did it one time. A man was trying to buy a carton of milk at Trader Joe's, and he needed an extra dollar. And I gave it to him. It was nothing to me. And the cashier went and got me two bouquets from the Trader Joe's flowers because he was so relieved that somebody handled the situation at his checkout stand. And it was nothing. Have you ever given a big tip at a restaurant? Okay, I've got a story about this. As we've been talking about, I often like to sneak out to midnight mass on Christmas Eve, and we're planning a field trip, guys, on December the 24th. So one year I had gone to an evening Unity candle lighting service. It was like at 7 o'clock. And then while I was waiting for time to sneak down to the Catholic Church to go to midnight mass, I went to the Waffle House and had breakfast while I was waiting. And the people there, I was thinking, they are working on Christmas Eve, and they were so nice and so joyous. And I had this $20 in my pocket that I was going to give to the Catholic Church. And instead, I gave it to the Waffle House. And there were four people working. That was only $5 each. This wasn't a huge tip, but their response was overwhelming. I mean, I think that I should have made that my holiday tradition. Except before I go to midnight mass, I'm going to sneak out and surprise some waitress somewhere with a nice tip. This is tithing because I'm giving for the joy of giving. And this is where we move from this step that is a sense of duty into the fourth step. We're moving forward now. We're having some joy involved in it. And probably our giving has started to work. The fourth step is we give in order to receive. And this is where a lot of metaphysical growth stops. This was The Secret, in the movie, in the book, The Secret. Many folks learn about this rite of passage when they learn about the law of mind action, which Unity likes to phrase that thoughts held in mind. Do you notice that? Do you notice this? Thoughts held, I'm to the newcomers. Thoughts held in mind.
Produce after their
time. Yay. Okay. They establish a goal at this step, step four, and the goal is fulfilled. You do your affirmations, your visualization, your treasure map. What you fail to recognize is that there isn't an increased awareness of God's presence when the goal is fulfilled. Because it is God's presence that did it. And this may even quit working after a time, because when we're operating at this step, which sometimes prosperity teachings don't take you any further than this, it's all about how can you get what you want. We are still stuck in sense consciousness, you know, S-E-N-S-E, believing that everything we perceive with our five senses is real. which is not, that's sense consciousness. We are still living in the mundane and not advancing to the mystic. Everyone in this room is a mystic. That's not a highfalutin word. That means you have a direct relationship with God. You go to God for your answers. And the more you learn how to do that and what you can expect from that communication, then the more you are moving solidly into this fifth stage in the rite of passage of giving. We give, this is what Lisa said, because it is our nature. We give because we like to give. Finally, this breakthrough occurs. We give because it is our nature. And we learn how natural this is when we have children or pets. The joy of giving and being able to give. To give is to be alive. And to be practicing the principle of God as source. We claim our power when we give. Can't huddle in the corner scared anymore, claiming power. We claim our spiritual dominion over the earth. Just as God gave Adam dominion over the animals, we have dominion over the material world. It is responding to us right now. It is the way the world works. And if we don't understand that we're creating it with our minds, then we don't have intentional thoughts, intentional giving, intentional action, because we know what the results will be. Because we have dominion over the physical world. Da-da-da! We do not create wealth, we allow it. And then we claim the power to distribute it. This is a fearless state. This is a fearless state. And we give to God first. This is a tricky concept for people who are new to tithing. If it's to a charity, it does not count. You give to the source of your spiritual good, whether it is your church, which it usually is, or a waitress at the Waffle House. You know who is feeding you spiritually. You give to where you want more of. More spiritual good? Yes, please. That'll bring more of everything else. Now, here's an important point. God does not work in even exchange, but human beings do. Have you ever noticed how you always want to give something for what you got, you know? It bothers people. Give them a nice gift out of the blue and watch them squirm. Because they feel then indebted to you. You know, and how much will make this even? What do I have to give back in order to make this all come out? God does not work in the law of even exchange. God works in the law of increase. Whatever you give will be returned, increased to you. Cherie Larkin, and I hate to even say this because it's like doing an advertisement for one of my competitive ministers in this town, but I'll do it all the way if I'm going to do it. She's the minister of Capital Unity. She was from Sacramento, and she was my classmate in seminary. She understands money. She was a six-figure realtor before she left Sacramento to give her life over to God. And she moved to Unity Village to work with the youth of Unity, the teenagers, and became very active in creating an international YOU. And I believe, the way I remember her stories, is that she's gone to the Kremlin and the Taj Mahal with groups of teenagers from all over the world, which she made it into something really rewarding for her. It wasn't just doing good with the kids for the church. It was really an awesome career. When we were ordained, she took a big church in Nashville and served there for 14 years before she came home to Sacramento. And we would run into her at conference, and her stories were all like, yeah, I ran into Ringo Starr last time I was in Hollywood, and we prayed for his daughter's health. And I'm going, what? Okay, she tithes. couldn't stop her from doing it because she understands that God works in the law of increase. It says, you are cheating yourself if your goal is to get what is owed to you. Because that's not an increase. That's even exchange, to get what is owed to you. So today, I need an usher now. We're going to hand out these abundance journals. And these are for you to keep for these 5 weeks. And one of the things I want you to notice is on the inside of the front cover is a tithe commitment. Now, I thought long and hard about how to teach this. And you can imagine in 30 years I've been in Unity. I've been to many prosperity classes and seen some I liked and some I didn't. So this is what I think is important. Your commitment here is between you and God. You don't turn this in. The church is not keeping track of it. The tithe piece, they are not going to show up on your front porch.
We have this commitment from you, and we noticed that in your last offering.
No. This is between you and God. Also, even though a true tithe, by definition of the word, is 10%, we're going to say, you decide. And in this agreement with God, you say, I, Carla Commenter, joyously commit to tithe, and then there's a line in which you can put a percent of income or a dollar amount to the source of my spiritual good each week through November 18th, 2018. I do this to put to the test the spiritual principles I am learning, realizing that as I practice God's law, I will be richly blessed with time, talent, and treasure. Then has a place to sign it. And then it is very cleverly designed. You don't know how many hours I spent on this. So that you have got 5 pages to write the blessings that occur each week of the 5 weeks that we're going to be studying this book. And this is yours to keep, because that commitment is yours to keep. And just have it there to remind yourself. I think you will be surprised. And when you do it with intent and start paying attention to the way your blessings are returned, then you will be raising yourself to the next step in these rites of passage into spiritual abundance. Okay, almost done. If you want to wander back to the piano, because I've got a poem and then we're going to do the meditation. Okay. It's going to be a wonderful journey, it is, as together we travel into the heart of mysticism. You know, it's not about money. It's about God and your relationship with God. And allow ourselves to be transformed from those who toil and spin into those who live in the kingdom of God. So I want to close with a poem by Hafiz. Hafiz was a 14th century Persian poet and mystic. And the title of the poem is, "We Have Not Come to Take Prisoners." We have not come here to take prisoners, but to surrender ever more deeply to freedom and joy. We have not come into this exquisite world to hold ourselves hostage from love. Run, run, my dear, from anything that may not strengthen your precious budding wings. Run like hell, my dear, from anyone likely to put a sharp knife into the sacred, tender vision of your beautiful heart. For we have not come here to take prisoners or to confine our wondrous spirits, but to experience ever and ever more deeply our divine courage, freedom, and light. And thus ends the message. God bless you. So if you prepare for a time of meditation, Take a couple deep breaths. As we rest in this place of sanctuary, we loose the things of the world. We do not worry about tomorrow, but strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that all shall be provided unto us. We turn inward and greet the Spirit of the living Christ, knowing that it is that from which we are made. We allow this deep, eternal, omniscient part of ourselves to surface and invite it to guide our thoughts and our actions. We were born for greatness, each one of us. Despite what we have been taught, despite what we perceive, the truth of us is that we have never experienced lack. When we rest like the lilies of the field, we allow God's goodness to reveal itself, knowing that it has always been present, though at times hidden behind the veil of our disbelief. And so we breathe. We sigh out our fear, our doubt, our striving. We prepare ourselves for rebirth, being born again, being born into the truth that sets us free. As we feel the sweet relief of letting go, we share our time in silent prayer. Bringing our awareness back into this time and place, we breathe into the wonder of this now moment, thanking God for each miraculous breath. And so it is.